afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. Today, we have two Reader's Digest articles, one about how burglars choose their targets and why you should delete all of your old online accounts. Also, a warning for those on Social Security disability. But first, a short article by CBS News on an IRS recovery of evaded taxes. CBS News. IRS says it has recovered $1.3 billion in unpaid taxes from rich Americans by Amy Peachy, September 6, 2024. The IRS said Friday that it has recovered $1.3 billion in unpaid taxes from high-income Americans who had either failed to file their returns or who hadn't fully paid what they'd owed. The announcement, made jointly with the U.S. Treasury Department, is aimed at highlighting the agency's ramped-up enforcement efforts against tax cheats, which have been funded under the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. That IRS funding has proved controversial, with some Republican lawmakers falsely claiming the money would be used to hire 87,000 new IRS agents to, quote, audit Walmart shoppers. Instead, the IRS says the money is being invested in improved customer service following years of snarls during the pandemic, as well as to increase the number of audits on people with more than $1 million in annual income and more than $250,000 in tax debts. 125,000 high earners haven't paid taxes in years. The initiative is designed to crack down on tax evasion so that high earners pay what they owe, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said in prepared remarks released ahead of a scheduled speech in Austin, Texas, on Friday. For too long, this hadn't been happening. Between 2010 and 2018, the audit rate for millionaires fell by 80%. She added, and during the previous administration, as audit rates on high-income taxpayers fell, the share of audits on taxpayers with incomes under $200,000 increased. In 2019, the top 1% of Americans was estimated to owe over one-fifth of unpaid taxes, leaving ordinary Americans to shoulder the burden. Yellen said the IRS is pursuing 125,000 wealthy taxpayers who haven't filed taxes in years. With stronger enforcement, about 21,000 of those taxpayers have filed their returns over the last 6 months, paying $172 million in taxes, she added. Those 21,000 taxpayers who have filed their taxes were the first to respond after the IRS reached out to alert them that they needed to file, according to a senior Treasury official who spoke on a conference call with reporters. The IRS is likely to recoup hundreds of millions more in new tax revenue from the remaining 104,000 people who still need to file, he said. The agency is ready to use its enforcement authority to go after the remaining individuals who haven't yet filed, the official noted. Since the crackdown, roughly 80% of 1,600 millionaires with overdue taxes have paid up, providing an additional $1.1 billion in taxes, the Treasury said. That represents an increase of $100 million since July, when the IRS noted it had recovered $1 billion from this group of taxpayers. And from Reader's Digest, Here's Why You Should Delete Your Old Online Accounts, STAT, by Mark Saltzman, September 10, 2024. Remember that old Hotmail account you had back in the day? The internet does, and it can put your personal information at risk. More is definitely better when it comes to certain things: job offers, binge-worthy Netflix series, chocolate. But the same cannot be said about passwords. In fact, the more logins you have, the greater the security risk. Alarmingly, the average American now has a whopping 168 passwords, according to a recent survey from password management company NordPass, and that number is up 70% compared with just 3 years ago. If you can't possibly believe that you have that many passwords, let us take you on a trip down memory lane to your very first Hotmail account, the wedding site you created for the big day, and your Tumblr account for starters. While you might have forgotten about these abandoned accounts, cyber criminals have not. Your forgotten online accounts may seem harmless, but they're actually a big security liability, says Wes Guyer, an executive director with IBM Security. And if you want to keep your information safe from hackers, it's essential to get rid of them. Ahead, we'll walk you through what to do with your old accounts and provide some important tech tips that will protect the ones you decide to keep. Why does having so many logins put you at risk? Each one is a potential target for hackers seeking sensitive information stored within, like your credit card or bank account numbers, says Guyer. Even if your account doesn't have sensitive data tied to it, it's still a liability as many people reuse passwords across accounts, allowing hackers to swipe the password from one and gain access to another, like your bank account. In fact, for the second year in a row, IBM's Cost of a Data Breach report found that compromised credentials were the top way cybercriminals access your data. Each of a user's forgotten or abandoned accounts becomes a potential attack vector at compromising your personal information. Businesses are reeling from these cyber attacks as well, and if hackers break into one of their systems and get hold of your login information, all of your accounts could be compromised. The bottom line, even if you think you're being responsible about online safety, a company's data breach could still put you at risk. Which accounts have you likely forgotten about? Sure, you probably remember that you had, and still may have, an AOL or Snapfish account, but there are also the logins you used only a handful of times, maybe even just once. Yep, every time you create an account, even for a quickie appointment or vacation booking, that account stays there forever. Here's a partial list of accounts you've probably created over the years. Email, Hotmail, Yahoo, Outlook, Gmail, etc. Social media, school accounts and emails. Health sites, hospitals, clinics, doctor's offices, and labs. Concert and theater ticket sites. Transportation, train, bus, or plane services, travel sites, loyalty plans and rewards cards, online shopping sites. How to find and delete old accounts. If you're no longer using an account, delete it. While there's no set time frame in which you should review your online accounts to decide if you should delete or deactivate them, try doing so at least once a year. The good news is that it's easier than you think. Just follow these steps. Look for your login credentials to various online accounts on your computer's web browser. On Chrome, click the three vertical dots at the top right of the screen, go to Passwords and Autofill, and then select Google Password Manager to see a list of the accounts the browser has stored for you. The process will be similar for other browsers. Check if any of your passwords have shown up on the dark web due to a data breach. You may see a pop-up from Chrome or Microsoft Edge that tells you which passwords you should change. If you don't see a pop-up, that doesn't mean there's not a problem. To check yourself in Chrome, click the three vertical dots at the top of the screen, go to Passwords and Autofill, then click Google Password Manager, and finally, Checkup. Alternatively, go to the free and safe website haveibeenpwn to see if any of your passwords have been breached. Check your PC, Mac, or mobile device's operating system for login credentials to various accounts. Do a search for the word password, and you should be able to find a password manager called Keychain Access on a Mac to see a list of accounts. From here, you can delete them or change the passwords if you want to keep them. You may also see installed password manager apps such as NordPass, Dashlane, RoboForm, LastPass, 1Password, or Bitwarden here. Log on to each site to review or change your password or officially deactivate or delete accounts you no longer use. Make sure you've backed up anything you want, such as info and photos, before you do. An important note, don't just uninstall apps from your phone or tablet. This removes the program from your device, but your information will still be on the service it's linked to, such as a site like hotels.com. You need to go through the steps above to delete your account, or it will remain on the site's server indefinitely. FYI, you'll also want to go through a similar process when deleting apps. Pro tip, if you're using a website or service just one time, consider checking out as a guest rather than creating a permanent account. How to keep your passwords safe? A good password can make it more difficult for hackers to access your accounts. Reader's Digest reached out to McAfee, a leading cybersecurity company, for some tips to create a strong password and manage them all. If you decide to keep an account, follow the recommended best practices below for setting secure passwords and changing them at least every 90 days. Use a unique password for each account. We know it's more convenient to use the same password for everything or a slight variation of 1Password that's easy to remember, but this also makes it easier for hackers to get into all your online accounts. Don't write passwords in a notepad or keep them all in a document on your computer. These are not secure storage solutions. Instead, consider a trustworthy password manager app for all your devices, such as NordPass, Dashlane, RoboForm, LastPass, 1Password, or Bitwarden. Find one you like best and install it on multiple devices, phone, tablet, laptop, and desktop, so it'll synchronize between them all. Create a strong password. That means one that is at least 12 characters long, isn't a common word or sequence of numbers, and has a combination of upper and lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols. Alternatively, McAfee says a passphrase is a good idea too. Try a lyric from a song or a poem, for example, "And the Rocket's Red Glare," or make an abbreviation from the words in a sentence, changing "the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog in the backyard" to "TQBFJOTLDITB," for instance. Also, resist using personal information that people who know you or look at your social media can guess, such as your birthday, your kids' or pets' names, and so on. Use multi-factor authentication for your important online accounts, like online banking. Logging into an app or website with two-factor authentication doesn't just require your password, but also a one-time code sent by text or email to confirm it's really you. If offered a secondary biometrics option to log in, which uses a part of your body to identify you, such as your fingerprint or face scan, adds another layer of protection. If you're just now joining us, this is Listener Beware with Francis at SunSounds of Arizona. We just heard about an IRS recovery of evaded taxes and a warning about deleting old online accounts. Up next is another Reader's Digest article on how burglars choose their targets and a warning about Social Security disability benefits. Reader's Digest, How Burglars Choose Which Homes to Rob, According to a Criminologist, by Laurie Budger, September 20th, 2024. A masked burglar dressed in ninja black creeps outside your house at night, waiting for the lights to go out so he can make his move, breaking into your home and stealing your valuables while you and your family sleep. Terrifying, right? But this concept of a home invasion is mostly untrue. Despite Hollywood and cartoon depictions, most burglaries occur during the daytime, according to the FBI's 2019 Crime in the United States report. This wasn't always the case, and the change may be due to societal shifts, notes Paul Grattan Jr., a retired sergeant with the New York Police Department, NYPD, and managing director of Gray Point Strategies, a public safety consulting firm. During the 1950s and 60s, nighttime burglaries were more common because a large number of women were home during the day, as fewer women worked outside the home, Grattan says. And burglars prefer to do their work when no one is home. When it comes to residential theft, almost all present-day burglaries occur when a residence is not occupied, he says. Burglaries, which are defined as unlawfully entering a building and removing property, have been declining since the 1980s, Grattan says, and the statistics bear this out. Nevertheless, more than 1,925 home burglaries happen each day in the United States, causing losses valued at an average of about $3,300 and chipping away at your sense of security. Read on to learn what burglars look for when deciding which house to target and how to prevent a home invasion from happening to you. Homes that are safe from prying eyes. If you're a burglar, the less activity that neighbors or passersby can see from the street, the better. That's why bad guys look for the following. Homes with overgrown bushes or high fences. Homes without nearby neighbors. Houses difficult to see from the street. Houses in the middle of the street, according to home security system manufacturer ADT. And houses without security cameras. Anywhere there is an element of comfortability for an offender, there is the increased chance of a crime, Grattan says. In other words, if a burglar doesn't have to worry as much about being seen, they are more likely to attempt a break-in. Best move: keep your landscaping trimmed and consider installing security cameras, video doorbells, and/or alarm systems. Unlocked potential. Burglars want to get in and out of your home as quickly as possible. Sometimes homeowners make it easy for them by unintentionally giving them access in the following ways. Unlocked doors and windows. You might be surprised that 34% of burglars get in through the front door, according to the National Council on Crime Prevention. We estimate that between one quarter and one half of doors are left unlocked for a significant period of time each day, says Tatiana Peralta, a spokeswoman for the National Crime Prevention Council. First floor windows with an air conditioning unit. Generally, if AC units are not secured properly, they can be pushed in, making for somewhat easy entry, Grattan says. And when they're pushed into the residence, they don't make too much noise. Fire escapes. They are often on a less noticeable side of the building, and windows are often left open or unlocked, Grattan adds. Best move: keep all doors and windows locked at all times and make sure any window-mounted air conditioners are secured. This is probably the easiest way to prevent a home invasion. Flimsy locks and door frames. In 2017, Oregon TV station KGW surveyed 86 imprisoned burglars about their methods. Some reported kicking doors in. Apparently, this is not just something that happens on TV. It's not typically an offender's first choice, Grattan says, but he also notes that doors with flimsy locks or those made with a hollow core, thin wood, or glass can make a door vulnerable to this method of entry. One of the key components in a safe door that is difficult to kick in isn't the door itself, but the frame. In almost every burglary I responded to where the door was kicked in, it was the door frame that easily gave way on the inside with nothing but thin wood that splits when the deadlock is pressed against it with enough force. Best move: install a quality deadbolt lock on every door that leads into the house. Then strengthen your door frames using door jam reinforcement plates and kits. Spare keys hidden in obvious spots. You're not fooling anyone by stashing a key under the doormat or in that planter next to the front door. Most bad actors will typically take a quick glance around the door and above the door frame, under a mat, and inside a nearby mailbox, Grattan says. Best moves? Install an electronic door lock in place of one that requires a key. You can assign digital codes to people you want to have access, and they enter their code to unlock the door. Many of these locking systems also have an app that allows you to lock and unlock the door with your phone. If you still feel more comfortable with a physical key, at least use a lockbox with a pin to secure the key. And if you must hide a key somewhere, Grattan recommends making it a key that opens a rear or side door and finding somewhere less obvious to hide it. Signs you're away from home. An unoccupied home is an appealing target to a burglar, particularly if they sense that you won't be home for hours or even days. Some of the things they may look for include no sound from a TV or radio, lights that don't get turned on and off, mail or packages piled up, trash bins left on the street, and snow not cleared from the driveway in winter. Best moves: have a trusted neighbor take care of some of these exterior signs of absence. To make it look like your home, you might even ask a neighbor to park their car in your driveway from time to time, particularly if you'll be away for a while. Also, consider adding some smart lighting that you can control with an app. As Grattan notes, this can help randomly change the lighting scheme and make the house appear occupied. Signs that you've got valuables inside. If your home suggests you're wealthy, burglars might think they can get a good haul. The overall picture tells the tale if it has an expensive car in the driveway, it's in a higher-end neighborhood, it's a nice house, etc. Other giveaways. Expensive items visible in the windows. We see this more in remote areas where trespassers are exploring a property, Grattan says. I know of a case in a vacation home in Vermont where a telescope that was on a tripod visible from the window was the only item stolen from the house, something that juveniles would have likely found desirable. Bumper stickers that disclose the owner's interests. In the KGW survey, one convicted burglar wrote, NRA sticker on car bumper equals lots of guns to steal. Your home is in a neighborhood where ethnic stereotypes prevail. Grattan says he saw many cases while on the NYPD where a particular group of people was believed to keep valuables in the residence. Within some immigrant and ethnic communities, he says, mistrust in banks is common, and many residents keep large amounts of cash at home. Likewise, many immigrant residents were not able to open proper bank accounts. This presented opportunities in some areas for offenders to score large amounts of cash proceeds from burglary. Best moves? Minimize the visibility of any valuables you may have. Keep as little cash as possible in your home and use a safe for any large amounts of cash that you do keep on hand. Be sure to bolt the safe to a floor or wall, though, since it's one of the hiding spots burglars always check, and they can just walk away with the safe if it's not secured. The bottom line, while there are many things a homeowner can do to prevent burglary, other complex factors, drug issues, economic issues, poverty, etc., all contribute to the threat. And not all home invasions are burglaries. The term home invasion refers to breaking into someone's home with the intent to commit a crime while the occupants are present. It can also include robbing a person. Robbery means taking property from a person by force or threat of force, or even rape. Learning how to outsmart burglars and prevent a home invasion, Grattan says, often comes down to making your property less attractive to burglars than the properties nearby. And from Money Digest, you've been warned. Social Security may be monitoring your social media, by Larissa Zagaris, September 28, 2024. There's a lot to be in the know about for Social Security beneficiaries and Supplemental Security Income recipients. For example, for retirees, 3 Social Security changes are coming in 2025, and for those who receive SSI benefits, a double payment is coming this November. As for Americans who receive disability, it turns out they should stay aware of their social media use, as the Social Security Administration could be watching it. Agents at the Social Security Administration aren't interested in the selfies you post because they think your Instagram perfect life is worth smashing that like button. No, they're only interested in the selfies you take with your pets or the pictures you post of your food for one reason only. They think you're a liar. We jest, but that's actually the reason Social Security may be monitoring your social media apps, such as Facebook, Instagram, and even Venmo. Folks who file long-term disability claims and stand to benefit from Social Security payments may face scrutiny from the administration, especially if the claimant's social media posts show them being physically active in a way that's at odds with their claim. It's legal for the Social Security Administration to evaluate public social media posts to determine whether or not a claimant is fraudulent or not. In 2019, in its 2020 budget request, the SSA advised the possibility of surveilling social media posts in instances of suspected disability claim fraud. In addition to photographic evidence taken from such apps as Facebook or Instagram Today, Venmo activity may also be fair game for SSA investigation and eventual claim denial. For example, Venmo payment notes documenting a user's dinners out on the town, triumphant bike rides, or even days going fishing. In her explanation on enhancing fraud prevention, Acting Commissioner Nancy Berryhill wrote, "Currently, agency adjudicators use social media information to evaluate a beneficiary's symptoms when there is a CDI unit's report of investigation that contains social media data corroborating the investigative findings. In fiscal year 2019, we are evaluating how social media could be used by disability adjudicators in assessing the consistency and supportability of evidence in a claimant's case file." Ever since this disclosure by Social Security, legal service providers, advocacy groups, and think tanks have all weighed in on the ramifications of surveilling social media on the grounds of fraud suspicion. The SSA's own explanations posit that it is to protect its funds for genuine beneficiaries, and that it's fully within bounds because it's investigating data voluntarily made public by social media users. Normally, individuals who have nothing to hide have nothing to worry about when an investigatory body like the Social Security Administration, or say, the IRS conducting an audit, looks through their paperwork. However, our relationship to social media is anything but normal. The images and words and videos people post on these apps are usually at least a little curated. Posting the best selfie of the bunch or the prettiest view in an otherwise messy home are proof positive that social media presents a story rather than reality. It's not yet truly clear how this dynamic can affect Social Security disability claims, be they genuine or fraudulent. What is clear from the sheer amount of law firms posting articles and videos about SSA and insurance companies being able to review or regularly monitor social media posts is that alarm bells are ringing. What the ACLU calls suspicionless monitoring of social media may be gaining traction when it comes to governmental agencies. Of course, this is controversial, but whatever way you feel about it, if you're filing a disability claim and have concern, you can always set your social media accounts to private. Consider what you are posting and ask others to refrain from tagging you in posts that may undermine your claim. And that concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at Sun Sounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then, under Programming Links, left click on On Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.